It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
Where the pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace number 121. Well, you may notice a strange silence. This is the sound of Al not being here, and that is because of the weather. We have been somewhat confined in this area because of a code red warning about snow.
Because we've got these showers from the east, the beast from the east that we've been talking about that have been causing the problems. But just look at this in the last few hours, starting to push up. This is Storm Emma that arrived through Portugal that the Portuguese Met Service named. And so that is the reason for the red warning, the top alert, take action.
Is that now?
A risk for life. This is
those of you who are Canadians or Scandinavians will laugh at this, but the snowstorm that has hit the United Kingdom has meant our transport system has been greatly incapacitated, and I've not been able to get into the studio. So that's our first item, really. This storm, the beast from the east, as they call it, is a particularly nice name. We have been hit by this, and there's good and bad in it. One of the things is here in Scotland, the scenery is absolutely spectacular. Another good thing is the way that people have chipped in to help one another, and I do think that is particularly marvellous. There are stories of farmers and those who are fortunate to own four-wheel drives going out and helping midwives to get to deliver babies and so on. And there are some remarkably good news stories in that sense. I think also one of the things that causes me to reflect as a Christian is we build these worlds that are kind of our own comfort zones where we're in control of the temperature and we're in control of everything. And yet in reality, in the big wide world, we just don't control anything. It's just out of our hands. And I think a storm like this reminds us of that. Speaking of storms, we again come back to our government's concern to try and get human beings to be able to self-identify as whatever they wish. Now, last Thursday was the last day for the Scottish Government's consultation on this, and I filled out a form for the Free Church to respond on their behalf, and many others have filled out forms to respond as well. What's particularly interesting for me is that this consultation, anyone can respond to it. So there are trans activist groups from throughout the world who've been replying. And I do think that that is a bit of a mistake. It should be for Scottish people to determine what goes on in the Scottish government. And we haven't encouraged Christians from elsewhere to write in, though I guess that could be one way of doing it. However, I got stuck in a particular spat with a councillor in my own home city of Dundee, who's the education convener, and this is particularly worrying because he is in charge of education in the city. And we had one of our occasional Twitter spats. Now, there are two things that were really astonishing in this. First of all, he argued that it was just paperwork. Why were we concerned with paperwork? This was just how the state viewed the person. And I said, are you denying that this changes the legal status, so that if a man wishes to self-identify as a woman, he must legally be considered as a woman, or vice versa? And much to my astonishment, he denied it. Now, to my astonishment, because the law that's being proposed is quite clear. If someone self-identifies as a member of the opposite sex, or opposite gender, a different gender, then by law they're going to have to be considered as such. That has all kinds of issues for women's sport. It has all kinds of issues for safety in prisons and women's refuge centres. It has all kinds of issues in terms of schools. There are many, many issues that it has. So he specifically denied that. The second thing that he denied, and I asked him it three times because I was just so shocked by what he said, there are no laws about women's restrooms or toilets. Now I said, what do you mean? Does that mean that I can, as a man, can walk into any woman's toilet? I'm here in shopping centre just now and there's a woman's toilet there. If I walk in, they can't call security and have me removed. I'm not breaking any law. And amazingly, he defended that. He said, you have no rights, no one has any rights, which was an interesting concept in itself, because there are no laws. Now, what bothers me about this is not only the ignorance, but the fact is that he is an education convener responsible for our children's education. He's a man who's pushing the whole queer theory, transgender ideology. And if he himself is so confused, and by the way, I have a problem here because I've referred to him as he, and he didn't want that. And I said, well, he said, I'm not a man. And I said, okay, you're a woman. Do you want she? He said, no, I'm not a woman. And then I just gave up because I said, you know, I'm sorry, but I'm not going to allow someone to mangle the English language in order to impose their political philosophy upon me. So he wasn't too happy with that. But I did end up feeling quite sorry for him. But what a mess we are getting ourselves into. Speaking of a mess, have you ever played roller derby? Nope, neither have I. But apparently, this is an inherently feminist sport, so I'm told.
The fact that, like, you're combining roller skating, which is like, let's hold hands and go to the roller rink, with, like, chicks beating on each other physically is, like, fireworks.
When I first started playing derby, my grandpa was like, so, do you still wear wooden wheels? Do they play the organ at the roller rink? Like, Grandpa, thoughts changed.
Oh my goodness. Well, a journalist phoned me this week to ask about what I thought about an LGBTQI group being given money to set up a roller derby league for queer stroke trans people. I'm being given thousands of pounds of lottery funding for that purpose. What did I think? Well, he also asked what I thought of money being given to a group for failed asylum seekers, which seemed to me like a very good idea. But this last one, you notice the strange thing about it. It's done for marginalized groups and it's done in order to be inclusive. But this is done in order to be inclusive. They are excluding people. Now, when you look at their application, if you want to join this group, they don't ban people who are straight. They don't ban the 99% of Glasgow teenagers who don't fit into their mold. But in effect, they do, because you have to go along with everything. And they make it very clear that you're not wanted unless you are part of their particular group. Now, I think a group like this wouldn't get anywhere without government money. And one of the questions I have is how much government money is going to these groups, which are in effect exclusive groups designed to promote a particular political stroke, philosophical stroke, sexual ideology? That's my first big question. And the second thing is, what is an inherently feminist sport? I find that just utterly astounding. Seriously, can you imagine what would happen if I said, I'm going to open up a club that is for heterosexuals? You think that would work? And speaking of marginalised, these groups are not marginalised at all. They can get all the government funding that they want by claiming their victimhood status. I tell you who's marginalised. Christians, in many cases, are marginalised in our culture. We're marginalised in media, we're marginalised in education. We're marginalised in lots of ways. We're often bullied in schools, called Bible bashers and so on. So do you think if I put in an application for the marginalised Christians, who are a far higher percentage than the queer trans group, do you think I would get it? No. Exactly. Let's come back to something a little bit more sane. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. And that, of course, is the question of Brexit, where, again, I'll be honest with you, I expected Theresa May, as she laid out her speech on Friday, not to have much to say. But I heard it and I read it, and I was actually very pleasantly surprised. I thought it was balanced. I thought it was reasonable. It didn't give everything that I would want with my particular political views. It didn't give everything that I suspect lots of people would want, but it seemed to be a fair way ahead. But of course, it's immediately met with ridicule and abuse, and Basically, those who want to stop Britain leaving the EU joined in straight away with their mockery, which doesn't really help. And those who are in the EU, you'd think would be looking for a bit more reasonable, they're not going to be. Now, here's why, and this is an important thing to understand. Most people in Britain, at least our governors, our elites, they're thinking of this in terms of trade. You know, how do we get the best trade deal? How do we do this? The people who run the EU, that's not what they think. Although the EU is a trading arrangement at one level, fundamentally it's not that. Fundamentally, it's a political project in which they use trade as a weapon. And the people who run the EU, the EU commissioners, don't have an electorate, don't have a political party, don't even have a national government that they have to respond to or answer to. They are not answerable to anyone other than themselves. And so they don't care. They'll play games with the Irish border, they'll play games with customs and trade. The only thing that will work for them is if they fear that their money is going to be reduced, because it's a pretty big gravy train that they are on. Have you heard of Godwin's Law? You know, it's the idea that the first person to bring up Hitler or the Nazis in an argument loses. It's very, very hard not to bring up Hitler in this next news item, which is that Iceland is seeking to ban the practice of circumcision. Now, what that means is that Muslims, but Jews especially, for whom this is an integral part of their Judaism, will be banned from Iceland. I mean, just stop and think about this for a moment. In the name of health and safety, Jews are going to be banned. If only Hitler had thought of health and safety, he could have got away with a whole lot more. I'm sorry, but I mean, it's an utterly ridiculous thing. I've heard on the radio several militant secularists defending this, and they're all also virtuous. Oh, we're just concerned about the health of the child. No, you're not. You're concerned about attacking religious practices and religious people. That's what you're concerned about. You're concerned about control and domination. And this is absolutely appalling. Ironically, Iceland lays claim to being the most atheist nation in the world. Folks, this is what happens when you let atheism take control of your country. Finally, let's talk about prayer. Prayer, you say that's a pretty good thing. Apparently not. According to the Labour MP Fabian Hamilton, prayer outside an abortion clinic is harassment. And those who protest outside abortion clinics are fanatical extremist groups. Now, I have gone along to support the Society for the Protection of Unborn Children. I've spoken at these groups. Largely, they are innocuous, harmless, or as we'd say in Dundee, harmless women whose sole concern is because they want to protect human life. Now, what is wrong with that? I've never seen them harangue anyone, and I've never seen them harass anyone. But even the sight of somebody kneeling and praying is now considered to be harassment. Again, that just fits into the category of you couldn't make this stuff up. And well, you don't have to make it up, because it's happening. So we're getting Jews banned from Iceland. We're getting education conveners telling us that they're not male and they're not female. We're getting British members of parliament telling us that praying outside an abortion clinic is harassment. Yep. This is the world in which we live. Let me finish with a quote from Scripture, which I found particularly encouraging, which in some ways, in a week that's not been the easiest of weeks for different reasons. And it comes from my Bible reading this morning, from 1 Corinthians 16:8-9. But I will stay on at Ephesus until Pentecost, says Paul, because a great door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many who oppose me. Those two things go together, don't they? There's a great door for effective work, and there are many who oppose us. We will continue to seek to serve the poor. We will continue to seek to bring the gospel to all. We will continue to seek to fight all the wiles and evils of the evil one, and we will do so with the power and grace that God grants us. A door for effective work has been opened for us, and there are many who oppose us. We pray that God will bless you, and next week, hopefully, we'll meet when the beast from the east has departed, and we'll have a look at some of the major issues that are going on in our culture and society. God bless you until then.